that you all know, so that you all know the reason Wendy came up to me is I'm on call primary, and I was actually on storm duty this week, and my phone jangled off, and we thought maybe they were calling me to come in, but instead it was a plea from the Red Cross to come give blood. So, okay, hit it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into God's house here on this 4th of July. Our sermon today is called The Sound It Makes, and our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. And while you're looking that up, the church had fell on hard times. The organ player had become retired. She couldn't do it anymore. They were struggling to find an organist, and they had a woman that had come in, and nobody was really sure about her. But the church was experiencing other hardships. And on Sunday morning, the pastor got up and he stood up. He said, "The roof of the church is in bad repair, and we need $10,000 to fix it, and we don't have it. So I'm going to stand here and ask that if each one of you would just stand and pledge just some money to help us get going, we can fix the roof." And nothing was going. No one stood up. Everything was quiet. The pastor began to sweat. The people looked at the floor and shuffled their feet. And he said, "Wouldn't no one just simply stand up to help pledge to save the church roof?" And the organist sitting back there looking at a calendar, realizing the date, hit an idea. Stomped down on the organ, cracked in two. The Star-Spangled Banner, the whole church stood up, the roof was saved, and the organist became the organist. Quick thinking! The sound it makes. Luke chapter 4, starting in the 14th verse. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." May God add his blessings to these as we reach out to him in prayer. Father, open our hearts for this message. Let it be a reminder. Let it be something that strengthens. Let it be that which lifts us up. These words come from you, Father. Let us dwell here together in fellowship, in kindred spirit, and be made ready whole to go forth from here into the world that waits for us just outside that door. Let this lift us up this very day. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. I sought for the greatness of the United States and her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests. It was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning. It was not there. I sought for the greatness of the United States in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. May God bless the United States of America. Came from the French writer Alexis de Tocqueville when he began to visit America in 1831. And yeah, I butchered that last name. I am not French. My wife, you guys can't see this. My wife, who took French, sat there just now going, "You pronounced it wrong again, dummy." I was in the yard recently, which is where I like to go. Because when I'm out in the yard, I'm working on a tractor, or I'm working on a truck, or something out there. And you know what happens when I'm out in the yard? Nobody comes looking for me, because I'm working, right? And they know that if they show up, they're going to get sucked into the work. Now in the house, when I sit down in the easy chair, my name changes from Paul Nelson Leatherman III, or honey, or husband, or whatever, to hey, or dad, can I? Or honey, what are you doing? But out in the yard, it's peace. And I'm working on this particular project. I keep hearing this noise. What in the world is that sound? I'd work out here. And after a while, I just stopped and I sat there for a moment. And that sound just captivated me. Where in the world is it coming from? I turned around and looked over my shoulder, and there was the flag of the United States of America flapping in the breeze. And the tears in my eyes began to fill up. And it threw me back in time a little bit. Several years back, we went down to the Frederick County Fair to watch my cousin Nick Fogel and a bunch of his buddies in the Crash 'Em Up Derby. I hauled a couple cars in for him. And because I did that, I got to sit back on the special bleachers back in the pit where the dirt could be thrown on you and car parts could come at you without any protection. Woohoo! That's a good place to be. And in the middle of all that, we were sitting in amongst this chaos. I hear that sound. And I'm sitting under the flag, which is once again flapping in the breeze, and above all this noise, above all the carrying on, there was that sound. And I sat there for a while looking at it. And I fell in love with my country yet again. Now, we put these videos up, or these sermons now, on YouTube, which means I'm supposed to quote unquote monitor myself a little bit, because before that camera showed up, I could sit here and run my mouth about anything. And most people couldn't remember what I had said, so they couldn't run off and get me in trouble for doing things that I'm not supposed to do. You're not supposed to talk about politics up here, which I don't. But you're also not supposed to be sentimental or patriotic or be gushing or be all full of this romance. And I'm telling you right now, hogwash! Today, that's me. If you think for one minute that I'm going to throttle back on today, today is 4th of July. Today is the day our country went independent. There ain't no way at all I can behave myself today. Of course, you know, when you come right down to it, there's not very many days in the calendar when I can behave myself. But the entire life, the entire world of Jesus Christ and God the Father makes it, and it should be, our lives full of sentiment, full of romance, full of desire, full of wonder. That's how it should be. That I shouldn't stand up here and go, "Oh, you're bad, you're ornery, you're a sinner, blah, 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 blah. You should walk around with a sackcloth and ashes on your head." No! You should be proud that you are a child of Jesus Christ. You should be thankful that you live in the greatest country in the world. And when I hear that flag start, the unanimous declaration of the independence of the 13 colonies to Congress, July 4th, 1776, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected with them to another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the separation. That's the sound that that flag makes. That is the reminder, one nation under God. That is the reminder that the men and women that set forth this country did so with Jesus Christ in front. And they knew the cost. Thomas Nelson Jr. was a farmer. He was a monster farmer. At one point, Thomas Nelson Jr. owned 6,000 acres. And he loved his farm. He loved being on his farm. He had cows, and he studied animal husbandry, and he studied different ways to plant, and his farm was being built up for his children, and he, along with that, he would gain wealth. Thomas Nelson Jr. signed his own death warrant when he put his name to that slip of paper that hangs down there in the Smithsonian. He put himself into harm's way. And we all know what happened after the old king read that document. His old crown started to melt because his head was catching fire. And he said, "You load them boats up, send them over to that little impudent country." And he said it just like that. You want me to do it in king speak? "Loadeth up thy boats and putteth them forth in the watereth, and send them over there to the colonial of the Narcissus, and open up our cannons, and bring my subjects back under me where they belong." That's what he said. Probably not like that. Thomas Nelson Jr. was a brigadier general in the Continental Army. During the battle, when them boats hit the harbors here on the east side, Cornwallis led his army in, and they took over Thomas's farm, and they run him out. And Cornwallis, because he had such a grand house, set up his headquarters in Thomas Nelson Jr.'s house. The scourge of evil. And as they sat on the ridge looking down on it, General George Washington rode up on his horse and dismounted. "Traveler, right, John?" Which was his horse's name? That traveler was Robert E. Lee. You got it. He rode up on his horse and dismounted. And he walked over to Thomas Nelson, and they looked down across that vale where the British were. He said, "What say you?" And with a gaunt face, he turned and looked at him, and he said, "I don't want that evil in my home. Level it." And he threw out a bag of money. He said, "There's 5 gold pieces to the first one of your cannoneers that can put a shot into it." And they did. And he lost everything. Died penniless in the pursuit of the freedom that we sit here today and enjoy. He knew the sound that it makes when those cannons roared against his home. He knew the sound that it makes when that flag waved. He knew the sound that he stood for that day. I don't know that I could have done that. You know, I got to be honest with you about something. You guys think that I know the Bible backwards and forwards, and I don't. And I don't want to. I know that doesn't make sense. What do you mean you don't want to, Paul? I don't. I don't ever want to become so trivial with the Bible that I can't quote a whole lot of verses from it. I know what my favorite book in all of the Bible is. My favorite book in all of the Bible is 2 Timothy chapter 4, the whole chapter. When Paul's getting ready to give it all over. When Paul's getting ready to obtain the ultimate freedom. When Paul is at the end of his life. You go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I read it quite often. Get to the end of that. If you're not just blubbering right down, because it gets me, because it is the ultimate sound of freedom. He knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be beheaded. He knows it. But I don't study the Bible in the method that people think I probably do. I encourage you to approach the Bible the way I do, childlike. Just grab it and just open up and just wander all around through it. Just love on it. Oh, I never read. And today, when I was preparing this sermon and this scripture came out, I never paid attention to it like I am and you will now. This scripture is Jesus' declaration of independence and the sound that it makes when he closes that scroll. Go back to that scripture. See, Jesus goes back to Galilee. It starts off that way. He returned to Galilee. And by now, he's been tested in the wilderness. And he's got the Holy Spirit. And he's got the power. And people know what's going on. Hey, have you heard about Jesus? Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, you know, down the road there, the fellow couldn't half walk. And he went up and touched him on the shoulder and the guy danced. Have you heard the way he's talking? I did. It's hopeful. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Says he taught in the synagogues and everyone praised him. Then he goes home. Goes back to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the day of the Sabbath, he went in the synagogue as was his custom. The Bible says his custom, meaning Jesus' custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah handed to him. Unrolling it, he found a place where it is written. Let's stop there for a moment. Can you imagine the sound it makes? First of all, it ain't paper. It's papyrus, I think, or goat skin or calf skin or leaf skin. I don't know what they used back then. I'm going to ask that when I get to heaven, though. What printing machine did you all do? Because I got to know. But whatever it is, it's a scroll. It is a sacred piece of literature. It is a sacred reminder. And the guy hands it to Jesus. And he lays it down and he unrolls it. To where Isaiah is talking about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is the beginning of the Christian Declaration of Independence. Jesus has just told them, it is now my time to give everything over for you. Then he rolled the scroll up and gave it back to the attendant. And the Bible records it. Can you imagine being in that scene for the moment? I'm telling you, I hope there's a big VCR or a big laser disc player or something like that. Boy, I just dated myself, didn't I? Laser disc player. I hope there's something like that in heaven where we can go. I wake up in the morning after breakfast and doing my praise. Jesus, I love you. Thank you. Woo! And it's got a little time before lunch. Hey, I'm going to walk over there to the library and punch up some of these scenes. I want to see this scene where it says he rolled the scroll up, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogues were what? Fastened on him. And the sound it makes. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You're here. Today I declare your freedom is at hand. This is the beginning. This is the warning. Jesus has, in effect, because the scriptures made sure to record this moment, Jesus has signed his death warrant and made the proclamation of freedom. And the sound it makes was the sound of the scroll, was the sound of his voice. What he did prepares us to all be released and free from sin. What he did gave us the teachings that would shape history and mankind still today. It was what they sought when they got away from the king. They wanted the freedom to worship Jesus however they saw fit. You know what? Let's try it from this angle. I'm going to read to you a speech. I'm going to try to do it in the proper quoting. All right? I wish I had a fedora hat or something like that. When I was a small boy in Vicente's, Indiana, I heard, I think, one of the most outstanding speeches I've ever heard in my life. I think it compares with the Sermon on the Mount, Gettysburg Address, and Socrates' speech to the students. We had just finished reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and Mr. Laswell, the president of Vicente's High School, called us together and he says, as Red Skelton tells the story, boys and girls, he said he was a very diminutive man, he said, boys and girls, I have been listening to you recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems that it had become monotonous to you. Or could it be you do not understand the meaning of each word? If I may, I would like to recite the pledge and give you all the definition of each word. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly good to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and devotion to the flag, our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of courage, and wherever she waves, there is respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, that means we have all come together. States, individual communities that have divided into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride, dignity, and purpose, all divided by imaginary boundaries yet united to a common cause, and that's love of country, of America, and to the republic, a sovereign state in which power is invested into the representatives chosen by the people to govern, and the government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, under God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right power for one to live his own life without fear, threats, or any sort of retaliation, and justice, the principles and qualities of dealing fairly with others for all. For all. That means, boys and girls, it is as much your country as it is mine. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't that be a pity if someone said that as a prayer and eliminated that from our schools as well? Now, having heard how the Pledge of Allegiance sounds, let me reread the words of Jesus again. The Spirit that is given by God of the Lord is on me, meaning Jesus Christ, because he has anointed me, saw fit as his son to carry out his message and his salvation. He has sent me to proclaim freedom, to tell you that you are no longer shackled. For the prisoners and for recovery of the sight of the blind, those who do not see yet that there is hope, those who do not see yet that there is something more beyond, and to release the oppressed, those locked down in the stranglehold of sin, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. That is the sound that it makes. Today is the day when for a moment we stand a little taller and we get reminded of the sound that that old flag makes. Has anybody ever really truly sat and listened to it flat? I'll bet you will today, won't you? I walked through a county courthouse square And on an old park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole is leaned a bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat, boy." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "Well, we don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of our ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole there when that flag, when Washington took it across to Delaware. And it got powder burned the night Francis Scott Key sat watching it and writing, 'Oh, say, can you see?' Got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. It almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got a sword cut at Chancellorsville. She got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II, and she hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea and Vietnam, where she was sent by her old Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships on the briny foam, and now they've quit waving her back here at home. And in her own good land, she's been abused, she's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare, and she's wearing thin. But she's in good shape for the shape she's in. Because she's been through the fire before, and I believe she'll take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning and we take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag because I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag. But there is another sound just as beautiful and unique as our American flag. Poets saw fit to give words. On which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss. And pour contempt on all my pride, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Save in the death of Christ my God, all the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his hands, his head, his face, when I survey the wondrous cross. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? Or the whole realm of nature mine that were a present far too small, love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That sound it makes, that creaking old wooden cross on which our freedom, our independence was nailed and lifted up, and still to this day reminds us. As so I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all mankind in service. And if you would please stand with me and put your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here, brothers and sisters, on this 4th of July, that's the sound it makes when we remind ourselves of the freedom of this country, of the beauty and glory of this flag, we remind ourselves that Jesus Christ died so that we may live on forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We lift you up. We know the sound it makes. Whether it be the flag or the creaking of that old cross, it all tells us that there is freedom. It all tells us that the freedom in this country is given to you for us, for our pleasure, to be used according to your will. And that the creaking sounds of that old cross remind us of the freedoms we have beyond the USA. At home with you one day forever. That our belief in Jesus Christ and what he gave us on that day has forever released us and gave us a freedom that has no measure. And oh, the sound that it makes. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, I invite you to come forward if you need be. The bench is open. I'm here to pray with you. And on the other side of the camera, if need be, call me or reach out and get those prayers. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.